Okay, Dr. Claudia Chauffan is Associate Professor of Health Policy and Sociology at UCSF, where she researches social and political determinants of health and healthcare inequalities, with an emphasis or focus on diabetes and obesity, comparative healthcare systems, and biomedicalization and critical analysis of human genomic research. She's an active member of Physicians for National Health Program. And what she's going to present now, a little bit different from what Dr. Ross did, but we've been hearing a lot about how Switzerland might be a model for the U.S. And Dr. Chauffan, who's actually done some research on Switzerland, has some really solid information for us.
Thank you so much, Martha. So can you guys hear me? Okay, so good afternoon, everybody. And is the Swiss healthcare system a model for the U.S.? Well, the answer is no, and we could just go home, but let me make the argument for you. So my conflict of interest that I was, I had the luxury to have a graduate student researcher funded by PNHP to help me produce these terrific slides, and also a long-standing commitment with single-payer healthcare. So how did this work come into being? Well, I bumped into this article in the New York Times as I was sipping my probably second cup of coffee in the morning a couple of years ago, 3 years ago, four, where I read Paul Krugman was saying that basically Obamacare is a plan to Swissify America. Now, granted, I was already pretty disappointed, to say the least, by Paul Krugman's pulling back from being a strong defender of single payer as we got a Democratic president and start defending an alternative model premised on health insurance, private health insurance competition. But I suspected that this wasn't quite right. I had some notion of the Swiss healthcare system, which I've been teaching healthcare systems internationally for some years now. And I began to follow the conversation, and it boiled down to, well, people assume that the ACA was going to be something like Swiss healthcare. And based on that assumption, some people thought it was a good thing, mostly liberals, also some conservatives, liberals including Krugman, for a number of reasons. It had ability to distribute, it would have, at the time it hadn't been passed yet, ability to distribute high-quality healthcare equitably, a route to universal coverage that retains private insurance, which presumably they were able to figure out that that's what we Americans like and want, and then the critics, saying that, well, providing too generous insurance is not a good idea, and the mandate impairs freedom. So the goal today is to challenge the framing of the debate. The Affordable Care Act, whatever it is not an attempt to Swissify U.S. healthcare. And moreover, Swiss healthcare is no good model for the U.S. In fact, it may not even be working for the Swiss. And then to propose where we go from there, although my colleague has already done that brilliantly. So, well, why the analogy in the first place? Well, when you read what people had to write about this, Switzerland had a major reform that retained commercial health insurance, had an individual mandate, was presumably going to produce affordable plans with essential coverage, and then a lot of choice of plans, and no discrimination on pre-existing conditions. So as the ACA shaped up, we're going to have a major reform that retains commercial insurance policies, individual mandate, blah, blah, blah. Well, I want to argue that that similarity is no more than an illusion. Let me tell you very quickly about Switzerland. Some of you may know more than I do. It's a federal state, 26 cantons, fourth richest country in the world, fraction of the population of the U.S., unemployment rates are very low, high GDP per capita. Life expectancy is very high. Number of MD visits per person per year is roughly ours. A very low infant mortality, about maybe two-thirds to half of ours. And health expenditure per capita is a third in the world, after the U.S. and Norway. So the U.S., we know that, our population, GDP per capita, unemployment rates, at least the official ones, much lower life expectancy, much higher infant mortality, and this is a already kind of old health expenditure per capita. We've already hit the 9,000s. So what's a brief history of healthcare in Switzerland? Towards the end of the 19th century, there was a constitutional mandate to regulate health insurance, the health insurance enterprise or business. There were several attempts to reform health insurance in Switzerland following the German model. In 1911, insurers had to register with the Federal Office of Social Insurance and abide by regulations, but importantly, regulations prohibited insurers from making a profit from selling health insurance, because they were trying to stick to the German model of social insurance, a model based on solidarity. And there were many, many attempts to reform the system that had increasingly high costs, I mean, increasing costs, and left people out, despite the fact that it wasn't that bad. All of them, they just didn't work until 1996. It was actually 1994. Lamal, the legislation, federal legislation passed, implemented in 96. Insurance became mandatory, and 99%, probably close to 100%, became insured. So how did they get there? They used the referendum as a political or political tool, I would say, which is part of the Swiss constitution, and it's used to unbundle issues where voters are not forced to into a set of policies that maybe their preferred party likes, and that may sound familiar to you, but they can still vote for their party and vote differently on a single issue. All you got to do is get 100,000 signatures in a year and a half, and you can hold a referendum. There were several in healthcare, all of which so far have not achieved much, except for Lamal 1994. In 2007, we have to say that the Swiss rejected single payer. There was a big propaganda coming from the government itself, which is a very conservative government, and health insurers, of course. But in 2012, they also rejected managed care by the same percentage. A recent poll was taken that showed that if single payer were put for the vote today, it would probably pass, and there is a referendum planned for next year. So let me show you how Lamal works. Lamal is indeed a mandatory purchase of a private health insurance, presumably guaranteeing quality, comprehensive coverage based on principle of solidarity. Also, solidarity meaning everybody pays in and everybody is in as well. And there is an intent to contain costs. The Swiss residents are at the center, right, and they have to purchase this plan that whose coverage is very, very generous from around 80 insurers that they have to choose among their private insurers. Remember, they cannot make a profit on this package, at least in theory. There is supplemental insurance that they can buy. Out-of-pocket payments are quite capped. However, over the last few years, as an attempt to control costs, insurers have begun to offer cheaper plans with lower premiums with increasing deductibles and co-pays. And all of this may sound familiar to you, although they do have to offer at least one plan with a very small deductible and offering access to all providers in the country. There's a very complex system of risk equalization. They're always trying to make it work. There's always loopholes to be handled, and subsidies for a substantial amount of the population. Now, what's the problem then, you might say? You know, 100 population is covered, you know, the comprehensive coverage is very generous. Well, the problem is managed care plans. As John was saying a moment ago, proposing of the strategy to control costs increasingly restricted provider networks. Now, they call it preferred providers, but the Swiss know better, right? They're not preferred, they're restricted. And they're becoming more common, although the OECD report where I took all this information calls them popular. And they infer that they're popular only because people buy them more, but of course they buy them more because they're cheaper, not because they like them better. And they provide incentives, for instance, lower premiums to higher deductibles. Higher deductibles, of course, lead to increasing out-of-pocket costs and increasing problems of access, financial burden. The costs keep on going up, and there's major price variations because policies are not adjusted to income. So you buy a plan, whatever plan you buy, no matter what your income is, you pay the same price. And that may also sound relatively familiar to you. So what all these problems have in common is a reliance on private financing, and we pretty much know how that works. But the question still remains, is the ACA a plan to Swissify American healthcare? So let me show you how the ACA is going to work. What do we have at the Center for Profit Health Insurance? At least that's how I and my students saw it, you know, and how to make it visual for you. We have these essential health benefits. They are presumably going to include 10 broad categories, although that doesn't apply to all plans. There's any number of exceptions to this. The plans that are offered are increasingly consumer-driven, and what exactly you're going to get for what you pay, it's anybody's guess. The exchanges or marketplace are being designed exclusively for those who do not have employer coverage. I'm going to talk about that in a second. And you probably know that there's several metals of quality plans that you can get, 60%, 70%, whatnot, and that changes the amount of out-of-pocket costs that you will have. Employer coverage remains essentially the same for the vast majority of the population, although they keep on increasing, as you probably find out whenever you get the, what do they call it, the open enrollment. Do you have that open enrollment in your institutions, the dreaded month of the year when you have to yet again go out and shop for a plan? Then you have lots of different public plans that are being, paid by the government, increasingly privatized. Self-employed, small employers, low income, whatnot, are supposed to go to the exchanges and the marketplace. High income, middle income, who do not have employer-sponsored insurers, may go to the marketplace as well without subsidies. And they call high income incomes that are not really that high, and of course over 30 million left over, including the so-called hardship exceptions, whereby you can show in a court of law that you don't have enough money to pay for health insurance. You might need some money to pay for a lawyer, though, therefore you're left without the fine and without health insurance as well. If anybody wonders what would have happened had we had a public option, we would have had a little plan there, mouse-sized plan, public option, competing with the other, you know, big guys like Aetna, United Care, and so forth. So, is the ACA a plan to Swissify America? Well, I think it is not. Obviously, it builds on social insurance, the Swiss plan, a long tradition of social insurance, is not tied to employment. Insurers cannot make a profit. They must offer at least one plan that includes all providers in the country. Everybody can comparative shop, which is not the case with the ACA for plans. They do have price controls. In other words, that's anathema in the context of our system. They do have a lot of cross-subsidizing and no price discrimination by age. It's interesting to know that a 24-year-old in Switzerland and an 80-year-old in Switzerland pay exactly the same amount of money for the same plan, which is definitely not what we have in the ACA, which builds on commercial insurance. Insurers can make a profit. Restricted networks of providers are going to prevail. They're the norm, as a matter of fact. There is no plan other than Medicare for All, whereby you can go to, you know, just about any provider in the country. And of course, undocumented immigrants and the very poor with the hardship exemptions are excluded. So conclusions. The ACA is not a version of La Malle. It doesn't turn us into Switzerland, whatever Paul Krugman may think, wrongly in my opinion. And La Malle has problems, and in fact it may not even be working for the Swiss, which is why they will vote for single, they will vote, have a referendum on single payer this coming year. Now, what is important in my opinion, connecting with things that have been said in prior session, is that the spinning and distorting of the debate feeds into the confusion about what the real alternatives are. And the goal is universal, equitable health care. We know that we need a really national health plan, which includes connecting the dots, I think, with other public policies issues like war making and so forth. So thank you very much. And that's